about 4 years ago when you, when we hosted this meeting, and certainly we are very thankful that Elder Larry Wise has chosen to come back among us at this meeting since then. We've enjoyed him, and Brother Jonathan as well, coming to be with us, and so we pray for him today, that the Lord bless him.
Amen.
Bless you, brother. Take your time.
I didn't say I'd come back, but I did come back. Hey, well, I appreciate that. Appreciate all the love and hospitality has shown us, me and my son Jonathan. Enjoyed the last time was here. Was a greatly blessed meeting. I've still got those tapes of those songs that I put in my CD. Matter of fact, we listened on the way down here, one of those copies of those singing that was recorded during that meeting in 2012. And certainly we enjoyed it. We've enjoyed being here so far. We enjoyed all the singing and the praying and the preaching that the Lord has blessed. And I hope that I won't be a disappointment. I hope the Lord would give me grace to speak in the name of Jesus Christ one more time. Hallelujah, what a Savior. You know, you can put how many exclamations you want to put at the end of that. You know, that's supposed to emphasize something. We can sing hallelujah, or what a Savior. Our words certainly cannot effectively convey how great he is. And that 48 Psalms Brother Chris quoted from there, read, he starts out that by saying, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God. A city of our God. And beautiful for situation. The joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion. Praise God for that. It be the Lord's will this afternoon. I want to turn to the 40th division of Psalms and pray that the Lord would bless. It sounded pretty good the other night in bed. I don't know how it's going to do this afternoon in the presence of all you good brothers and sisters this afternoon. But certainly it's a wonderful thought, as the psalmist often wrote, of many things that portrayed of the Lord Jesus Christ. And certainly it's no different in this portion of the Word of God. He said in verse 6, he says, sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire. Mine ears thou hast opened. Burnt offering and sin offering hast thou not required. Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. If the Lord will bless this afternoon, I will focus our thoughts on delighting to do the will of God. Delighting to do the will of God. And Paul, which I believe he wrote this in the book of Hebrews, he picks up and mentions this in the 10th chapter of Hebrews. Jesus Christ did come. Yes, he's coming back, but he did come. He came the first time, and he's coming the second time without sin unto salvation. And he writes in the 10th chapter of Hebrews, in verse 5 says, wherefore when he saith, when he cometh into the world, he cometh into the world. He left heaven, but he come into the world, a world of sin, a world of iniquity. And he left his home in heaven, and he did come into the world. He came born of the virgin. He came as one sent from God. Sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. Now, the Lord didn't prepare those bodies back there like this body, you see. Sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. Now, Jesus Christ didn't come into existence when he was conceived of the Holy Ghost. You know, he's always been with God. He's like he is, everlasting to everlasting. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. But there was a body prepared. And it was literally prepared, of course, when it was conceived of the Holy Ghost. And it was a special offering. He said, "A body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, Lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me to do thy will, O God." And then the psalmist says, "I delight to do thy will, O God." Jesus Christ came to do the will of God, but he didn't have to be coerced into doing the will of God. He came voluntarily. He came willingly. And I suspect Isaiah had more in mind than just preaching when he says, "Here am I, send me." That the Lord sent the Lord Jesus Christ. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. 1 John 4:9, "In this was manifested the love of God toward us, in that he sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him." Brother Jeff talked about here, we're living by faith now, but we live eternally through the Lord Jesus Christ. In him we live and move and have our being. You know, we wouldn't even be living today physically if it weren't for him. He sustains it all. He says, "I come to do thy will, O God." Above, when he said, "Sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings for sin thou wouldest not, neither hast pleasure therein, which are offered by the law." Then said he, "Lo, I come to do thy will, O God." He taketh away the first that he may establish the second. And he taketh away the first in the fact that he just fulfilled it, and that took it away. Love is the fulfilling of the law, the scripture says. And Jesus fulfilled it. The love of God. I love talking about the love of God. Do you love the Lord this afternoon? I know you all say, "Yes, I do." But how do you love God? You know, I love chocolate pie. But I love the Lord different than I love chocolate pie. We love him, I trust, with all our heart and soul and mind and strength. And that's because he first loved us and he gave himself for us. You know, and read the Ephesian letter and you look how Paul uses the "us's" in there in that first chapter of Ephesians. He says, "I come to do thy will, O God. I delight to do thy will, O God." He delighted to offer that sacrifice. Even then when he was facing that adversity, he still delighted to do the will of God. We read in John 6:38. Well, let's get 37. He says, "All the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh unto me I will in no wise cast out." Now, why is that so? Why are you not going to be cast out? Why are you preserved in Christ Jesus, as Brother Staniland taught us this morning? He says, "For I came down from heaven." This is where I came from. That's where he went back. He says, "I came down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but raise it up again at the last day." Did you know he came and one day he's going to present a lot of somethings before God when once they were nothing? In Daniel 4:35, he says, "All the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. And he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth that are reputed as nothing. And none can stay his hand or say unto him, What doest thou?" Can't stay his hand. The Lord stretches out his hand, who's going to turn it back? The Lord's hand's not slack that it cannot save. His ear is not heavy that it cannot hear. He says, "I came down to do the will of God. I delight to do thy will, O God." In John 4:34, he says, "My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work." And you know you can't finish the work unless it gets started. Well, when did this work start? Well, when you turn to Ephesians 1 and you get a good hint. He said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we'd be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will." It pleased the Lord. It pleased the Lord. It pleased the Lord. 1 Samuel chapter 12 and about verse 22, he says, God forbid. He says, the Lord will not leave or forsake you because it has pleased the Lord to make you his people. It pleased the Lord. And he says, I'll not leave you nor forsake. It pleased the Lord to make you. It pleased the Lord. Aren't you glad it pleased the Lord to make you his child? Adopt you in his family? Now, if you were to adopt somebody into your family, would you out and adopt a tramp on the street? Well, he adopted worse than a tramp on the street. He adopted those that were foreign to him, alienated by the virtue of the transgression in the Garden of Eden, but yet they're adopted into the family of God. Oh, what love, what a Savior we have. That he voluntarily came to, and he delighted to do the will of God. Brother Jeff talked about that covenant there. And it tells us over here in this same book of Hebrews, he says, where a testimony is, there must of necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament is not in force while men are liveth, but when they are dead. And it took the death of the testator, the Lord Jesus Christ. I come to do thy will, O God. So we find the work beginning. He says, we're predestinated unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. And we read over in Psalms 85 and 10. I like what Brother McCool said, you don't just wipe sin under the rug, It must be paid for. It must be paid for. And certainly we don't have anything to pay. But Jesus got everything that's required to pay. Sacrifice and offer thou wouldest not. And he had no pleasure therein. Well, it took me a long time, and I'm still not sure I understand. He instituted all those, but he had no pleasure in that. He had no pleasure in it, in the fact that it could not atone for one sin of any child of God. But here's the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's pleased with his sacrifice because it covers all the sins of all the family of God, from a righteous Abel all the way to the last heir of promise. That's the blood of Jesus Christ, and he's pleased with that. Amen. He tells us that there in that ninth chapter of Hebrews. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through eternal spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? How much more? That's how great he is. How much more in the Lord Jesus Christ? I delight to do thy will, O God. He delights to do that. And God's pleased with it. He accepted that sacrifice. And he saved us from our sins. He came to do the will of Almighty God. John 5 and 30. He says, I can of mine own self do nothing. Well, Jesus said that. He got all power. But he says, I can of mine own self do nothing. Where was his dependence? It's on his heavenly Father. He says, I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear and I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. I don't seek mine own will. Well, I almost left Psalms 85, didn't I? Thank you for blessing me to recollect that, Lord. Psalms 85 and verse 10. When he says, mercy and truth are met together, righteousness and peace have kissed each other, truth shall spring out of the earth, and righteousness shall look down from heaven. Well, what does that all mean? That means Jesus died at Calvary to save you from your sins, and he rose again the third day. That's what it means. That's what it means in English. That's what it means in Spanish. That's what it means in whatever. He said, mercy and truth are met together. What happens when mercy and truth are met together? Well, Jesus is the embodiment of God's mercy, isn't he? And we've already heard the scripture, I am the way, the truth, and the life. That's Jesus Christ. And he turned to Proverbs 16:6. He says, by mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. So when mercy and truth come together and in the great union there at Calvary, something happens and he says, iniquity is purged. Hebrews 1 and 3, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, upholdeth all things by the word of his power, when by himself, having purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And truth shall spring out of the earth, which he did, and righteousness shall look down from heaven. And it looks down upon you and I because Jesus has made us righteous. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Romans 8:33. There's a lot of questions asked there in Romans 8. And he answers every single one of them. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again and seated at the right hand of God. Who is he that condemneth? Romans 8 begins with no condemnation and it ends with no separation. There is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. And then he says in the 35th verse, who shall separate us from the love of God? You're justified. Who is he that condemneth? Isaiah breaks forth and says, every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. For this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me. Now, who said that? Saith the Lord. Their righteousness is of me. It's not of you. It's not of any man, but it is of me, saith the Lord. Who is he that condemneth? There's none that can condemn. Because the blood of Jesus Christ is saying, Father, you can't lay that to his charge. I paid for it. I shed my blood. Who can lay anything? Why? Because Jesus delighted to do the will of God. Jesus fulfilled the will of God. Jesus always pleased God. And you know, how would you like to have a perfect child? Well, that's what Joseph and Mary had, a very perfect child. I've got three boys and they weren't perfect. They still aren't. Neither is their father. But they had a perfect child. And he offered the perfect sacrifice, the complete sacrifice at Calvary. And he delighted to do it. Now let's transition here for just a moment and let's get the saints of God in this. Jesus delighted to do the will of God. Well, what about you and I? What about David? What about Paul? Brother Marty quoted the scripture there in Romans 7:22. He says, I delight in the law of God after the inward man. Paul delights to do the will of God. But one day he didn't delight to do the will of God. He delighted to destroy the will of God. He delighted to crucify the saints of God, to put them to death. But now he delights to do the will of God. But how's it after? An inward man. An inward man that has been touched. An inward man that has been cleansed. An inward man that is the work of God's grace. And that's the will of God. That is the will of God. In John 5:21, he says, as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. He raises up the dead and he quickeneth whom he will. And who does he quicken? Those that he died for, because he says, all the Father give me shall come to me, and him that cometh unto me I will in no wise cast out. And I believe that's in the work of the regeneration and quickening the saints of God. So he says, now we have a desire. What? Do you delight to do the will? Paul delights to do the will of God now, don't he? He delights to serve God. But he knows he can't please men and please God at the same time. He tells us that in the book of Galatians, chapter 1. He said, in about verse 10, he says, if I do now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. And then he goes on to say in verse 11, he says, I certify you that the gospel which is preached of me is not after man, neither I received it of man, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, I don't have it like Paul did. He got it directly from the throne. He got it by direct revelation. And when somebody says, well, I've got a revelation from God, you better start questioning it. Because the Lord's not giving us any more scriptural revelation. We're just preaching what's already been revealed to the Lord's children. I believe the scripture back in the Old Testament says, I have spoken once. Twice have I heard it, that power belongeth unto God. I have spoken once. Twice have I heard this. I believe, you know, God spoke once in the canon of Scripture throughout the Old and the New. Twice have I heard this. I heard it in the Old Testament. I heard it in the New Testament. And they all say the same thing, that power belongeth unto God.
Amen.
Pilate said, "Don't you know I have power to release you and crucify you? Won't you speak up?" He says, "Don't you know you can have no power at all except it were given thee from above?" No power at all. "I couldn't have any power to preach except it were given thee from above. These others either. And you have no power to worship here this morning if it weren't for the power that God had given you. And he give you the delight to do the will of God." Delight. There's pleasure in doing the will of God. God has pleasure, children of God, when you do the will of God. We read now. Let's go to the Song of Solomon here. I got a short time to get a few verses of Scripture in. In 2 Song of Solomon, chapter 2, and verse 2, he says, "As the apple trees among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. I sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste." I sat down under his shadow with great delight. He delighted, or she delighted, to sit down under his shadow with great delight. There was soothing, there was relief, there was a comfort, there was a felt presence of her beloved as she sat down under the shadow. How many of God's children love to sit under the shadow of the Lord Jesus Christ with great delight? And you delight to sit under his shadow. And I believe we sit under his shadow here in this meeting and with great delight to hear the songs of Zion and to worship our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But some of God's people just don't like to sit in the shadow. You know, even cows has got enough sense in a heat day to get out of the sun and get in the shade. I see it. I witness it as I drive down the road. But here's God's children, you know. There's a shadow. "Behold, a king shall reign in righteousness," Isaiah says. "And princes shall rule in judgment, and a man shall be as an hiding place from the wind, as a covert from the tempest, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land." Oh, this weary land. But there's a shadow of that great rock. This great rock is Christ. And in Psalms 36 and 7, he says, "How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God. Therefore the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings." Put their trust in the shadow of thy wings. Oh, with great delight, Psalms 1 and 1, he says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of God, and in it doth he meditate day and night." Delighting in the law of God, after the inward man. Delight in the law of God after the inward man, and notice the results, "For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters." God's done planted you by the water. You're planted by the waters, "who spreadeth out her root in her season, and her leaf is never withers, and the fruit bringeth forth in his season, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." That's a blessed man, or a woman, or a child, "that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinners, but does delight in the law of the Lord." Delights in it. You know, when you come to church and read the book, you know, he said, "Oh, how am I going to have to do this again?" No, this should be a delight. A delight to do the will of God. "I delight to do thy will, O God." And he tells us in the second chapter of Philippians in verse 10, as you know the scripture, he says, "Wherefore, as you've always obeyed in my absence, now much in my presence, now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." Well, Paul's been there, you know, and now he says, "In my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." You know, children will behave themselves more in the presence of parents than they will in the absence. You know, the only whipping I ever got in school because the teacher was absent. And you know, you think nobody's watching, you know, but the Lord's always watching. Well, listen, I know she was out there and she saw what was going on with me and my friend that was in class. And we had to pay the consequences. Yes, she was absent, and we decided to take a little liberty, as you see. And we had to pay the consequences. Paul says, "Ma'am, you've obeyed in my presence. Now, much more in my absence, she expected us to behave ourselves, but we did not." He says, "Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure." Yes, if you know these things, happy are you if you do them. He works the will to do, but he don't do the doing. You got to do the doing. That's where Brother Rusty said, faith without works is dead. You got to do the work. Nobody's not going to do it for you. You see, as the poem says, you know, well, somebody else would do it. Somebody else would do it. Somebody else would do it. And what happened? It never gets done. He says, happy are you. There's delighting to do the will of God. We read in 1 Samuel 15 and 22. Here is Samuel coming back to reckon with Saul. And the Lord has given him instructions to go and to slay the Amalekites. And not leave anybody alive. Everybody was to be slain. And what happened? Why, they saved some of the beasts there for a sacrifice. And he saved the king. I believe that's the worst of all. Save the king of Amalekites. Agag, figurative of everything that's against God in the world. But Samuel comes to him and he says, have you performed the commandments of the Lord? He says, yes, I have. He said, well, what means the bleating of this sheep I hear in my ear? And the lowing of the oxen which I hear. What do I mean? You were supposed to destroy this, and yet you say you've did the commandments of the Lord? And then after a conversation, we turn down to the 22nd verse there in 1 Samuel 15, and the Lord, through Samuel, tells him, he said, has the Lord a great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices? Does the Lord have as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices here as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Which does the Lord have great delight in? And all these sacrifices you've come from the Amalekites to offer up as a sacrifice? Or is he more delighted in you obeying the voice of the Lord? The answer is obvious. It is in obeying the voice of the Lord. And then he goes on to say, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and who hearken than the fat of rams. You can have the fattest ram you want, but if you don't hadn't obeyed the voice of the Lord, he won't accept it. Isaiah chapter 1 tells us that. You know they were offering to, or Malachi. That'd be both to read. Go check it out. He said he'll offer up the blind and the lame and the halt as a sacrifice to the Lord. And he said, you go offer this to the governor and see if he'll accept it. You see, we have to offer the very best we have to the Lord. Offer the very best. I delight to do thy will, O God. In the 29th division of Proverbs, we read verse 17, correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest, and he shall give delight unto thy soul. Here's children of God, the Lord's blessed us with. He says, correct thy son, and he will give thee rest. Well, if you don't correct him, what happens? He won't give delight to your soul. The Bible says, a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. Left to himself to do anything or she do of his own volition or whatever brings his mother to shame. No delight to the soul. But here he says, correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest, and he shall give delight unto thy soul. Oh, what a blessing for parents to see that they're doing the will of God and they've been corrected, they've received it, and yet it brings delight to thy soul. Well, the Lord corrects us. And then when we listen to that correction, it brings delight to him as well. The Lord delights in services like this. The Lord delights for you to read the Word of God. Satan, that Brother Marty says that we're to combat, he don't delight for you to read the Word of God because it's the sword of the Spirit by which you're able to combat that wicked one. Delight to do the will of God. I trust you delight to do that this afternoon. Yes, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than fat of ram. In Numbers 4, at about verse 8, Caleb speaks up after the bad report has come back, says there are giants in the land and we can't take it. And yet he says, if the Lord delight in us, it'll be bread for us. We can take it. If the Lord delight in us. But how's the Lord going to delight in them? By faith. That's how he's going to delight in them. And if they say, we can't do it, the Lord's not going to delight in that. But if you believe the Lord has promised it to you, and he'll give it to you, and he'll be with you, and that's what Caleb tells them. He says, they're bread for us. Their defense is departed from them. It's the Lord that's with us. And if the Lord's on your side, that's all you need. You got a majority of one. So children of God, delight to do the will of God. Delight to come to the house of God. And by the way, how do you know the will of God is right here? This is a revealed will of God. And in Luke 12 and 47, he says, that servant which knew his Lord's will and prepared not himself shall be beaten with many stripes. But that servant which knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes would be beaten with few stripes. Thanks be to God, we know the will of God, and how more blessed it is then to delight in doing the will of God. God bless you, is our prayer.